Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you.
I saw this. I'm like, yep, this is why. Never getting in a hot air balloon ever.
Confirmation.
Ever.
Ever.
Emergency crews were called out to help remove a hot air balloon that had become tangled in wires in a school parking lot while it was landing Sunday morning. This was in Glastonbury.
They always head for wires. Why is that?
Yeah.
Like a magnet.
You couldn't find a field somewhere?
Yeah, really. It's like no wires or fly above the wires, perhaps, by any chance?
Yeah, like a giant mall parking lot or
a field.
A field.
Nice big field. Just fly around there a little bit.
Yeah.
Yep. Nope. Let's go for the wires.
It's like a bug to a light.
It is. It's compelled. I must go for the wires.
Officials said the Glastonbury Fire Department companies 4 and 3 responded to the Gideon Wells School at 9:08 a.m. yesterday.
Oh, Gideon Wells.
Yeah, good morning.
Yeah, hey. A little tangled over here. A little bit.
Doesn't say, like, who was in the balloon, how many passengers. It was that green one. Now, a lot of people commented on our Facebook page, like, oh, I see that one every morning over 691.
Right.
It's the big giant alien head.
Right.
Oh, wow, that's funny.
Yeah.
Do they commute that way to work or something, maybe?
I don't know.
I got to go to the store for a second. I'll be right back. I'm taking the big green alien.
He was trying to get to Area 51.
Oh, wires.
Is this the one Eric got for you for your birthday?
No? I hope not.
It's going to need some repair. Be right back.
Yeah, if it is, say, can you work on the landing part of it?
Yeah, you're, seriously.
Well, stay with the wires part of it.
I'm starting to get nervous.
I mean, the takeoff is easy. Like, any idiot can do the takeoff. It's like, all right, untie the rope or drop the sandbag out.
Something.
Right? It's the landing that you have to get right.
Yep. Can't mess that up.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do is just land it.
That's all.
And again, there's no, like, backup chute. So, like, if there's something that happens to the balloon, like, that's it.
Yeah.
Okay. You're done. Still want to do this?
Yes!
Yeah, okay.
Bucket list.
Wait, I didn't drop the...
No, man. You never get me up on one of these. Such a primitive... Yeah, like, in whatever... 1798.
Yeah, maybe. That was innovation
it was like,
back
hey,
then.
We can go up in the air and see troop movement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I shall go. Yeah.
Okay. That seems to good idea.
I shall go aloft and keep an eye.
Right. This is life or death. We got, do they have 300 men? Do they have 1,000 men?
And these guys.
Are they bringing cannons? What do they have?
No, but they
artillery.
They may have bow and arrows to shoot your balloon down.
Yeah, that was probably like the balloon defense, you know, the balloon tactical unit.
Yeah.
All right. We got a balloon in here. You know what to do. Okay. Let me get my arrow. Yeah, just one arrow.
Wait. Boom.
Gansu! I've got it! It'd be cool if
they made that sound like a regular balloon and let go. It's like. Oh, crush. That'd be a lot of fun. I'd do it just for that sound.
You'd crash just for that sound.
Just for that sound. Go out with a.
Officials said there were no injuries.
Really?
Oh, maybe the pride.
Really? No injuries? First of all, if you're up at 9:08 on a Sunday morning, you have people. It's you don't own a balloon and say, hey, I think I'll go for a ride Sunday morning.
Why not?
Right.
Seems like a good day for a balloon.
Yeah. I'm going to get up at like 3 in the morning so I can unfold this frigging thing on a field, attach it to the basket, get the pump or whatever. Or I don't know, is it like a bicycle pump? He was out there since Friday night. So he could go up, you know, I have paying customers.
Yep.
I love also that it's literally a basket.
Yeah. Like it's a picnic basket with a balloon.
Right. Like you couldn't come up with anything else.
Yeah.
Like that thing is exactly like, the way it was designed like hundreds of years ago. There's been no advancement.
Yeah. Wicker. It's wicker. Basket.
There's no guidance system.
The design has gotten better. You got to give them the design part.
Well, they can't put like two drones, on one on each side of the basket to kind of like direct it.
Yeah.
You know?
Or like, hey, a rudder system.
Power lines.
Yeah. or in an
turn on one of the giant drones.
Or in an
like
emergency.
There's no advancement.
Like in an emergency, you can turn this drone on to keep it up if it blows up.
Here's the thing. If you got a time machine and went back 200 years, got someone who was like one of the first people in the balloon, and you got them and you brought them to 2019 and said, here, get in this balloon. They'd be like, okay, great. They know exactly what to do.
Yep.
It's not like an airplane. Like they'd walk in and be like, oh my God, what are all these buttons and like knobs and all these gadgets?
Good heavens, what are these things?
They'd get in it. They'd know exactly. All right, yeah, drop the sandbag.
Right, off we go.
This is why we're drinking mimosas at the top. So when we fall out, we don't worry about it.
Right. Yeah,
trust me, you don't get drunk
like,
mimosas.
Wee! All the way down to the power lines.
I've gotten drunk off mimosas before.
Yeah, you need whiskey for that.
Yeah. All right, well, there you go.
Right. Enjoy.
Another balloon. Another failed landing. Mm.
I love that it's an alien head. I couldn't tell that from the photo.
Yeah, so now when you see an alien head with a big band-aid across, you know what happened?
Exactly. Big
yeah.
eye patch.
Yeah, it's got an eye patch. Yeah, I love that too. And it was one of the tribe members posted it on the Facebook page. When I posted the story in the comments, they have a picture of that, you know, not on wires, actually floating through the air, and it's just a giant alien head.
Right.
All right. So, good luck, Ashley. When are you going?
Right now, it's scheduled for the end of September, I think, but it depends on, like, weather.
Oh,
and
good.
Stuff.
Nice and windy.
The end of September, yes.
Did anyone see Ashley? Yeah, she's in Ohio.
Landed in Oz. Oz, State of Pennsylvania, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. I want to be there to see you off.
I'll take videos.
You should do a traffic report from the sky.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my God, I should.
Never.
It's where you hear, like, more wind in the microphone than the words. You can barely make out the words.
The worse you fly past an archery class.
You know, and people say to me, oh, no, but when you're up there, and it's so quiet.
So tranquil.
And you're looking over the counties and sun rising or setting or whatever. It's very, very beautiful and very peaceful.
Sure.
I say no.
No.
No, because you know the hard part's coming. The hard part is landing. This is where we have the problems.
Right.
No one has a problem taking off. You don't hear, oh, a balloon took off, went right into power lines. It's like, no, it couldn't land.
Yeah. You're standing at
so the hard part, no, you don't get relaxed until you're on the ground.
Yeah.
Still alive.
There is nothing.
And you're like, oh, that was nice.
There's nothing to hold on to in a hot air balloon. It's a balloon, it's string, and a wicker basket, and you're standing in it.
Right. It's the same materials from 200 years ago.
One match and poof.
Rubber, wicker, and wire.
Everything that burns up quickly is right there, and you're standing in it. It's like being like one of those like paper lanterns from the Chinese.
Yeah. It's like we have devices now that can fly to the moon and we could build a space station, but we're still going up in this rubber wire Whitaker contraption.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, we didn't get it apparently.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I just like your quote. I say no.
I say no. It's not relaxing.
The same material that holds your sandwiches for a picnic, you're standing in it.
That's right. It's like that's how it must have been originally invented. Not for people. It's like, hey, how do we get this picnic basket from here to over there?
I should attach it to a balloon.
I got an idea.
Oh, my God.
Let's put a balloon on it and float it over there.
I should bring my picnic basket in the hot air balloon.
Right, of course. You got to have a basket in the basket.
Oh, yeah. My God.
This
amazing.
Way it burns up, too.
I'm sure you're the first person to bring a wicker basket on a wicker basket.
Who wants a toasted panini sandwich? Get toasted by the wires.
I have some brie cheese and some olives.
Oh, I hate olives.
As they're going through the wreckage. Oh, she broke grilled cheese. Yeah. No.
It was a cheese sandwich.
They were originally cheese sandwiches.
Yeah. You popped the cork of the champagne.
The power lines did that.
A baked brie.
You pop the cork, you pop the cork of the champagne and blow a hole in the balloon.
Right.
That's funny.
That's a good point, AJ. With
it was
a piece of cork to take out your
champagne. Yeah. I know. I'll toss knives while we're up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no jugglers allowed on the hot air balloon.
No stack heels either.
Yeah. How high do those things go?
Oh, that's a good question.
I would think like 1,000 feet maybe.
So I'd be doing the math as a takeoff. I'd be like, we're still good. In other words, if we crash now, we could survive. Nope, dead.
Right. Still dead. Really dead.
Splat.
Right. Dental records.
Won't even know we were human.
Right. Sucked by a plane engine.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm good.
Oh, my God. What
are you looking it up?
Flights in hot air balloons have been recorded at over 50,000 feet. However,
okay.
The sport of ballooning is most enjoyable when flying between, like AJ said, 1,200 to 3,000 feet.
1,200 to 3,000
feet. Yeah, how about 10 feet?
That seems pretty high.
10 feet works for me. If it stayed at 10 feet level, it's pretty cool.
Let's go with the middle of that, somewhere like, 2,000 something. How tall is that? How many stories would that be in a building?
10 feet per story.
Is it 10 feet per story?
I believe so, yeah. 10 or 12 feet per story.
So what is that? I don't want to do the math.
20 stories?
No.
Let's do this. To the very tip of the Empire State Building is 1,454 feet.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
So you're at least
if I don't show up for work, you know why.
Oh, we'll know why. We'll see it in the news.
Yeah, really.
I'd be like, oh, wow, a basket, like, splat and grilled cheese. Good.
Yeah. All right.
It'll be must be Ashley.
It'll be in the tribe members for Dumbass News.
Wow.
Send this one for Dumbass News. Look. Got Ashley.
Can you try to get the pilot of that balloon on? They don't want to talk to the show anymore. Nobody with a balloon. We used to talk about balloons and people would call in. Mm. Remember, Phil? Like multiple people.
Yep.
Like, hey, you want a ride? Hey, you want a ride? Hey, I got a balloon. Now we call. They don't even, they're like, nope, he's bad.
No, good friend, though.
He's bad for our industry.
Yeah. I can try.
Yeah, try to get Alien Head Guy on.
Oh, Alien Head Guy.
Yeah.
I thought you meant the guy that Eric got.
Oh, him too.
Okay.
For her. Him, her, whoever.
Whichever airhead you can get.
Not a pleasant experience to come home to when you're gone all weekend. You open your door and your house is trashed. Bird crap everywhere.
College students?
This is what happened to Kristen, our general manager.
Oh.
She was away all weekend. She comes home to find bird crap everywhere, and then birds tweeting in the chimney.
Oh, my God. That's
right.
Insane.
Yeah. Hmm. Did you get the recording? I think the clock is more annoying.
Yeah, really?
That clock's moving fast. That would be like my heart in a hot air balloon.
Yep.
Somewhere in there, you could hear the birds tweeting.
Yeah. They're in sync, too, with the clock.
So now there are birds in her chimney.
All right.
And what do? You like, you can't take a shotgun to it.
No.
Right?
Can't start a fire.
Yeah. Mm. So I texted Trapper Don last night, and then I got on the phone with him, and he ended up calling Kristen. But it turns out that he thinks that they're chimney swifts, and they're birds that are kind of like bats. They eat the same things, and they go in the chimneys because they can't nest in a tree.
Oh.
Hmm.
Yeah. So if you do not have a chimney cap, right, they'll get into your chimney, and they'll nest in there, and then they're federally protected. So you can't do anything until they decide to leave and go on their merry way.
Right. Oh, my God. A lawyer bird will show up, yes.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, they're kind of cute.
Well, I just looked them up, too. They're not. They're just birds. They just look like normal birds.
They're just birds in your chimney.
They got wings.
Crapping in your house.
No, I meant they don't look like any cuter or any uglier than the average bird
they are coated,
you see outside.
They are coated in soot. Like, yeah. They go,
they must die at a young age from, like, cancer.
Exactly.
Imagine right. If they hit the window, they'd leave, like, a little dust print.
I should quit smoking!
Oh, I wonder if she has soot all over the house, too. Right? Chimney soot and bird poop.
Right.
And so one, I think an adult bird got in the house. So she had to close her flu or whatever.
Right. Oh, man.
It flew in there. Hey-o-y.
Hey.
Hey-o-y.
When they close their wings, they sort of fold into like this X pattern behind them.
Like a fighter jet.
Now, why couldn't you just act like you didn't know they were there and light a fire?
I had no idea.
I didn't know.
I felt so terrible.
I didn't know.
This clock was making so much noise. I couldn't hear the birds.
Right. I thought it was on fire.
All I heard was click, 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 click.
Right. I smell something good cooking. I know that. Like chicken wings.
Yeah, the worst thing would be if you lit the fire, then they come out and they fly down.
Right. They're in flames and they set your couch on fire.
Oh, God.
Chaz and AJ.
Yeah, I have a friend that does wildlife removal, Westchester Wildlife Removal.
Oh, really?
His company. And he deals with bats and removals all the time. He safely removes animals. He doesn't kill them. She should definitely reach out to Westchester Wildlife Removal. I think he's in Brewster, New York.
Does that cost a lot of money?
Yeah. He gets a pretty good penny for what he does.
I wonder if that's covered with insurance. So when I call Trapper, this must be the season. I call Trapper Don. He's like, this is the fifth call I got this week. And
wow.
I was like, oh, this must be a thing.
I guess.
People are getting calls. All right. Thank you for that. I'll write that down and give it to her.
All right. Great.
All right. Imagine that coming home. There's bird poop everywhere.
Yep.
You seen there's a page on the Connecticut DEEP website about chimney swifts? And they're like, oh, they don't even hurt your house. Here's how to be a courteous, quote, swift lord.
Oh, my God. Oh,
swift lord.
Are you kidding me?
If you hear chirping or chittering inside your chimney, you may have nesting chimney swifts. Chimneys that are made of stone, brick, or masonry flue tiles with mortar joints provide the right services for nesting and roosting chimney swifts. Is that a problem? In a word, no. A bird that eats thousands of insects a day is an asset. Chimney swifts do not pose a disease risk for humans, and their presence does not affect the function of your chimney.
How about bird crap all over the house?
Exactly. Yeah, it says nothing germs. About this.
How about the constant twerping of baby birds?
All that.
Lots of people apparently have had this happen.
Okay.
The chimney swifts, the birds in the chimney.
Yeah.
And what you're supposed to do is wait until they leave, and then you have a chimney sweep come, and they knock the nests out.
Are they still... There's still chimney sweeps out there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And then they put a cap on your chimney so the birds can't get in.
They don't dance with Mary Poppins, just, you know.
Oh, my God. I had the biggest crush on Dick Van Dyke in the movie.
Again, drug testing, please.
No.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR. Wild animals in the house. Birds, raccoons, skunks, squirrels, bears.
Ooh.
Call it in, and we'll put you in the running for Allison Chains and Corn at Xfinity August 10th. Someone suggested calling, Westchester Wildlife?
Okay.
Wouldn't it be easier just to light a fire in the fireplace and say you didn't know
there were birds in there? Oops.
So when I was a kid, my dad tried to light a fire in the fireplace and it wouldn't, like, go up and the smoke filled the entire house. And there was a bat in the chimney. But it was...
One big bat.
it was a
Batman.
Dead body. Yeah, it was a dead body.
Batman comes down.
Right. It's a dead body with a cape on.
Popping out black stuff.
Right.
We called somebody, and I remember him taking it. I was little. He took out the bat and put it in a plastic bag, and it was dead. And he threw it out on the deck, and it made, like, the biggest sound when it hit the deck. It was...
Like a pump.
Yeah.
The crack of the bat.
That's a dead bat.
Very dead. Not freshly dead.
All right, so John's been holding the longest. John.
How are you, fellas? You hear me all right?
Yes.
Yes.
John from Bristol has a chimney sweep or swift story.
Yeah. I used to work, it wasn't in my house, but it was in the post office I used to work at. And this is kind of funny because the janitor came to me one time because she knew I'm kind of a, tree hugger type person. So I go downstairs and there's three of these things flying around in the basement of the post office. And come to find out, they had the flue open on the bottom. And I looked inside, there were skeletons, there were feathers. So they must have been there for years. But apparently the flue was cracked open, so they're flying around all inside the post office downstairs. So I gathered them up, I put them in a box, and I found out there was this place in Summington, this lady that had a license to rehabilitate these things. And they kept trying to crawl out of the box. And they kept, every time I turn around, because I had it there during the day with me in the truck, they kept hanging upside down in the box. I'm like, what the hell are these things doing? So come to find out, they don't make nests. I don't know if they make a nest at first or not, but once they hatch, apparently, all they do is hang upside down inside the chimney. And the mother, I guess, dives in, feeds them, takes back off, but they must have fell and were flying around, and I put them back up in the chimney, and I guess they crawl back up or whatever. But the lady I took them to in Southington, too, boy, she was unbelievable. She was like, I said, I was like, can I come in and see your setup? She's like, oh, no, these are protected. You can't come nowhere near them. This, that, and the only thing left.
Yeah, you can't see them. She was cooking them. Crap. I'm sorry, aren't they supposed to be flying around outside? Like, if you're doing a good job,
you can't come in here.
No. She's eating them.
Yep.
You know, it's funny,
they're all just little tiny turkeys hanging out.
All, like, battered.
Chicken wing day.
Hot sauce.
It's funny, too, you guys mentioned this, because where I'm living right now, I happen to be looking up the third floor of the attic one day, and I see the Swiss diving down, just like Phil said. They kind of, like, cross-wing and dive right into the chimney, and it's amazing how fast they go in, and I guess they just dead stop in there or whatever, but it's pretty cool.
Well, the ones that didn't dead stop were skeletons at the bottom of their chimney.
Yeah, when they didn't have the flue open or whatever, you know, they fell to the bottom and they had no way to get back up, and I guess they just died there. So there was a couple of skeletons there, too.
Little help sign was written.
Yep. All right. Thank you, John. Appreciate
it.
All right. Seems like if I feel like there's other things to do before you start rehabbing birds.
Right.
Like, I don't know. Like, humans?
Yeah, really.
let's get all these humans, like, together. They're drug addicts and let's help them, and then the homeless and the veterans that are homeless, and we'll get them on their feet, and then we could all rehab animals together.
Exactly.
Well, you can't go in there. They're protected.
No, sorry.
No, wait. No. Wait.
This is my chimney.
I smell something cooking. What's cooking?
Oh, trust. Yeah. Is that chicken?
So that smells good.
Smells like you got a barbecue going on here. You can't go in there. They're protected. Yeah, okay. Protected from what?
Is that a smoker?
I don't know. What person wouldn't let somebody? Yeah, come on. Like, those people are normally... They want to suck you in. It's like a cult.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on in. I want to show you my work. Because normally people are like, yeah, all right, whatever. I got things to do.
Or they need human contact. They haven't talked to anybody in a while, just hearing chirp, chirp, chirp a lot.
Right. Oh, my God, words.
Goddamn, get in here.
Right. Yes, let me show you. Here, handle this one. Right. Isn't this great? Come back tomorrow.
Take that with you.
3 to 8.
It'd be funny if you're like,
you're on.
I call him Chirpy.
Working at the kitchen table, and all of a sudden, like, hits you in the head as it's flying around your house.
Yeah, or you're eating, and then a bird poops on your... It's like, no. There needs to be separation here. Sorry.
That better be raising my cornflakes.
Birds outside, people inside. Done.
What is it? What is it? Licorice.
Rick the trucker, you had a raccoon in the house?
Yeah, I woke up to a raccoon nibbling on my big toe. So the lady at the house, she leaves the door open, but there's this screen with those magnets that they click apart when you walk through, and then they snap back together when you come through the screen, you know?
Yeah.
And so apparently this raccoon came in the house, and I wake up, what the heck is going on? And there's this young raccoon nibbling on my toe.
Nibbling on your toe?
Okay, so raccoon.
Was he like affectionately cleaning it, or was he trying to eat it?
No, he was just taking a taste. He didn't even break skin or anything. So I'm like, you got to get out of here.
You've got some extra skin on there we got to talk about.
I was going to say, raccoons eat garbage, so you got to wash your feet. Yeah. You got to wash your feet, man.
Your feet smell that bad. A raccoon goes, I know where the garbage is. Right up here.
Num, num, num.
On the bed.
Yeah. Did you hear what he said? Look, he wakes up, he sees it, and he looks up, and he goes, you got to get out of here.
He grabs my sneakers, starts dragging it down the stairs. I follow him down the stairs. He already tore the whole kitchen apart. The garbage is upside down. The cat food's all over the kitchen floor. I mean, it was crazy.
Jeez. But after all of that,
I got a video. I got a video. I can post it on your page. As soon as I woke up, I started my camera up and I started the video, so I can post it on your page.
Oh, well, please do.
Yeah, man, go for it.
And I find it interesting. It goes through the cat food, goes through the garbage, goes through the kitchen. And it's like, where's that smell of good food coming from? Oh, the feet. Grabs the sneaker. He's like, oh, this is garbage. Mm. Now I've been looking for garbage. This is garbage.
This is garbage.
It was funny.
Update on the missing mom case. First, I get a text from a friend Saturday that he has a friend who was in the theater in Southington watching the new Quentin Tarantino movie. And he looks to his left and sitting there in the darkness alone is Fotis Doulos.
Wow.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Is it Fotis? It's Fotis.
Fotis, yeah.
I said Fotis Doulos?
Yes.
It's Flotis.
Fotis.
Fotis. Yeah. Name don't matter.
He became a pool toy, yes.
But yeah. That would be weird. You're in the theater and you look over and the guy's sitting there by himself.
Yeah.
Ugh.
In a Tarantino movie?
Yeah, right. Seriously.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, I don't have 100% confirmation on this. I'm saying this is what someone told me that someone told him.
Right, friend of a friend.
Mm. Right.
Mm.
Attorneys for Jennifer Doulos' mother have requested an emergency court hearing in an effort to subpoena Michelle Traconis. That's the girlfriend of the estranged husband.
Right.
Jennifer's mother, Gloria Farber, is suing Fotis and his company in two civil lawsuits for more than $2 million. Apparently, Jennifer's father gave Fotis money before he died, and then now she runs the estate, so she's trying to get that money back.
Gotcha.
She says it was a loan. He says it was a gift. So now they want to get her in, which that's always where they get people. You force them into this civil suit, and then they say something, and then that testimony could be used in another hearing. And so, her attorney says, nah, I don't think so. We're not doing this.
Nah.
So there's a squabble now between all the lawyers and it's like a million lawyers involved here.
Yeah.
But it turns out that that family loaned him a lot of money. Like, cause I thought he was a successful builder, and I'm looking at this, and I'm like, oh, well, I could have done this with all these loans,
right?
You know,
yeah.
Like, who can't build a house? I was like, oh wow, this guy really probably built himself up from you know, in college you're building one car garages, and then you go on to build some ranches, and then the next thing you know, you're building mansions.
Yeah, developments.
No.
Oh.
Civil suit claims that Jennifer and Fotis borrowed $500,000 from Jennifer's father in 2012. Hiller died in 2017. The lawsuit claims a promissory note on the loan is past due. Second lawsuit claims Farber loaned Doulos $1.5 million to purchase a property on Hemlock Road in New Canaan. After four groups sold the property, only $500,000 of the $1.5 million was repaid.
Mm.
Of course you're going to have $1 million profit on the house if you don't pay back the $1 million.
Exactly. Pure profit.
Yeah, I'm just going to consider this a gift.
Low overhead, yes.
Thank you.
Right. Nice gift. Thank you.
It was a gift to receive this, yes.
Also, when your in-laws give you money, that's one thing. Then when you get divorced and it turns out you had some other girl on the side, I mean, then that changes everything. It's like, that money I gave you, I want it back. That's how life works.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The complaint also alleges a $670,000 loan to purchase a property on Deer Cliff Road in Avon was unpaid.
Oops.
It's a lot of money.
Yes.
I can't even fathom.
Build houses if you just give me $500,000 here, $1.5 over here, $600,000 over here. Yeah, I could do that.
I'll build myself one, actually. Yeah. Look at that. What a nice house I have.
It turns out that the house that, now this is according to court documents, that Jennifer's mother, was paying for the house he was staying in with the girlfriend.
Because
apparently he wasn't paying the taxes or whatever.
Right.
Oh, boy.
So she was paying the taxes to keep the house from... What a mess. I don't know, Norm.
A lot of money here.
You better better check and see how you're going to get paid on this one.
Yeah, I could say a lot of things and none of them are nice.
Going to build him a house.
On July 22nd, attorneys issued a subpoena ordering a deposition from Traconis. An interview was scheduled for July 31st, which is when, a couple days from now. But Traconis' attorney, Andrew Bowman, objected to the motion, invoking her Fifth Amendment right and privilege against self-incrimination.
Lawyer speak.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing with me. Like, if they have no involvement whatsoever, you go in and you talk to police. Here's my story. This is what I was doing when I woke up.
Yep. Right.
This is what I was doing at 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 11, I did this.
Right.
And then It's hard to believe someone had nothing to do with anything when they haven't even said. You're the mother of your children is missing, and you have not been to the police to have a conversation. Not even with an attorney. I can understand bringing a lawyer because it's like, hey, I know how you guys work. You already think I did it, so every question is going to be like that.
Yeah.
But that's why I have my attorney here.
Right.
You don't even walk in the police station, give a report?
Nope.
Say hello to my little attorney. Okay. Answer some questions? I would do everything I could to get myself off this suspect list. You want to talk to me?
Yeah.
Let's talk.
Hey.
You want? Here's a file.
Right.
Here's this. Here's that.
I shall exonerate myself.
Right. And then, because if you're worried about them catching the real killer, get them off your trail.
Yeah.
Like,
help them.
Here's everything.
Eliminate yourself from the process.
Right. Help you, help them, help them.
Yes.
Help you.
Help them, help them, help you. Help them, help you.
Right. I don't understand. Why? Why?
Why? Right. Why? I don't understand why.
Maybe because he's guilty.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Exactly.
Mm. My thoughts only.
Yeah.
Just poor judgment.
But if you're Norm, do you take it like, all right, it's going to be X amount of money to start this process? The guy couldn't even get out of jail, remember?
Yeah.
What was it? 50 grand?
500, I think.
It was 500,000, but if you get a bail bondsman, it's 50 grand.
Right.
I mean, 50 grand goes away, but you have all these properties and you can't, like, bank says, I got this much equity, therefore, sign this, sign my house. Equity in my house belongs to the state until we resolve this.
Well, usually he borrows from his mother-in-law, but he couldn't do anymore, so.
That would be an awkward phone call.
She wouldn't take his phone call.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a really bad time to call you, but I kind of need some money.
Yeah. You know those loans I haven't paid back yet?
One more time, I swear to God I'll pay you.
Right. This one I'm going to pay you. Yeah.
This one I will definitely pay you back.
Yeah. All right. But somehow he ends up, FOTUS, in Pumpkin Pom's life.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How does this happen?
I just opened up my LinkedIn profile just to check it quick, update a thing or two, and in my recommended was FOTUS Doulos.
Oh, my God.
That's why? So
That's what
weird.
She said. Oh, my God.
I don't know why. I'm looking at it. He has over 500 connections, which the more connections you have, the better, obviously. It says he was an owner, a CEO. Like, this profile looks really legit, and he has over 100 endorsements, which is ridiculous. It's crazy how many endorsements.
I don't have a LinkedIn page. Right. I don't want to be linked. I'm LinkedIn enough.
Yeah, really.
Right?
I'm good.
Well,
anyone who wants to reach me can reach me. If I want to reach someone,
yeah,
I'll either do it or I'll ask Ashley to do it. I'm good.
Yeah.
Well, they force us to do it now.
What's the point of a LinkedIn page? What benefit would I have if I had one?
Different for you. For Kaylee, it's much more beneficial.
Yeah.
So leaving school, having no experience or very little experience, this is a way for people who are in the industry who may have met her to vouch for her to be like, she's not a crazy person. You can hire her and she's going to show up and do the job kind of deal.
Okay, so now what if you're established? Why would you have a LinkedIn page?
If you lose your job and you want to get a new job, same deal. This is a guy that I worked with for 22 years. He's very reliable, shows up every day, does his work. You can afford him, blah, 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 blah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, does his work. It's a way to talk to people without actually like doing the legwork of like, let me look up this person, dial this number, and like going through the whole references page on the
Now,
resume, all that.
When was his page established? Does it say that?
4 days ago.
4 days ago.
Right.
It does not say, but it said that he posted something 7 years ago, so it's been a while.
Okay. And then why would it just appear on your page?
Well, the more people that get seen, the more it shows up for you. So if a lot of people viewed his profile, it
probably
would show up.
Probably to try to find contact information.
Gotcha.
Oh, my God. His profile picture on his LinkedIn is ridiculous.
Is it the mugshot?
No, it's like a Fabio Rico Suave picture with him, like, holding his hand on his chin, like,
looking thoughtful.
Like,
seriously?
Yes. Yeah.
Looking thoughtful.
Oh, one of those, like, 1978 class pictures.
Yeah. Actually, he calls it plotting.
Hand on the chin.
Right.
Any photographer who asks me to put my hand on my chin, I'm like, get out. Get out. Just get out. You're
I
done.
Like my chin. I'm not covering it up.
So no Michelangelo for you.
You're done. You clearly don't know what to do. I have things I have to do. I'll get someone else.
He's like, ooh, I'm good looking and I'm smart maybe, and I'm thinking.
Maybe he's covering a zit.
Jerk.
Yeah, maybe.
Like you get a zit on your chin?
Some companies consider this a necessary deal. Like every year to 18 months, if you don't update your profile often enough or like the headshot specifically, that can come up in reviews or even be cause for like, you know, penalties or whatever.
Is there any way to hack the page and put his mugshot in there?
No.
Probably.
Can we ask Dom?
Look for a computer hacker on LinkedIn. See what pops up.
Well, yeah. Unfortunately for me, it shows
looking
who you
for
viewed.
A LinkedIn page hacker on LinkedIn.
On your page, though, it does show whose profile you looked at.
Oh,
right.
So I need you and Ashley.
Oh, there's Michelle Traconis.
On his page?
Yeah.
There's another one.
She's holding her ears.
She doesn't look the same.
I don't get that.
I just don't want to hear anything. Don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it.
He was holding his chin. She's holding his ears.
Right. Next to the eyes.
They're doing it. Hear nothing. Right. See nothing.
Right.
Speak nothing.
Exactly. Right.
Oh, brother. All right. So what do we want to hear about on this page? Comments? Does he have a description?
No, he does not have a description. It just says owner of Four Group Incorporated. And then if you scroll all the way down on his page, he actually has a few recommendations that he's provided to a few people. And I mean, they sound really professional. I have to give him credit there. But like when you look at this page, it looks extremely professional. And I feel like that's very scary.
It seems to me like this guy is very good at presenting himself as a professional.
The only way he wants you to see him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It says he has a master's degree from Columbia Business School.
That's good.
And you can contact him if you click contact information.
Oh. It's funny because if you're at a party, like before this happened, if you're at a party with this guy, you think he's like one of the most successful people. You know, he's a master's business degree from Columbia. He has this company that builds these multi-million dollar houses. But you don't really know that he's in debt. He's borrowed most of the money from his in-laws. Mm-hmm. He doesn't pay him back.
That's why he's holding his chin like, I can get some money.
why am I paying this photographer right now?
Yeah. How am I going to pay for this photo shoot? Where am I getting the money for this? Anything else interesting on that page?
Well, like I said earlier, he has over 100 endorsements, which is really crazy. So over 100 people connected themselves to him saying that he's a really good person
now,
and that you should hire him.
I'm surprised that could you revoke that? In other words, you did that and then the story comes out that his wife's missing and he's could be connected. Wouldn't you just say, I'm going to like, can you unfollow, like unlike, like unrecommend?
Can you link out?
Yeah, you can.
I'm surprised that I'm surprised more people haven't. And who are the people who are recommending him? Like his mom?
No,
they
actually.
The same last
brother.
Name. Yes.
There's a guy named Tim and he's a healthcare consulting executive. There's a few CEOs.
A lot of attorneys.
Business executive, marketing executives. They're pretty big people.
You would think they'd be like, oh yeah, that's right. I recommended that guy on LinkedIn. Let me
go.
Unrecommend.
Right. Link out, link out.
Link out.
Link out.
I am unlinked.
Right.
Yeah. So there's only that one picture on LinkedIn.
Yes.
It's not like social media where it's like, he is building a house. Here he is.
I wonder if I could find him holding his head, holding his arm.
Here he is in an orange jumpsuit that doesn't fit him right.
LinkedIn's basically like an interactive resume is basically what it is.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, those.
Odd. Very odd.
Oh, my God. I think I did find him on Facebook. Studied finance at Columbia University. Studied economics at Brown University.
Not a very common name.
Athens College.
Yeah. He has all that on LinkedIn.
That's
got
to be him.
Oh my God!
It's
he
funny.
Loves
you could
these.
Study all this stuff, but still not be able to make any money.
Look at these. He's got a lot of pictures of himself. I think a lot water skiing.
I saw one picture over the weekend where he was water skiing. And you could tell he's doing a trick around a buoy or whatever.
Yeah.
Great physical condition. I mean, he's a good-looking guy. He's got the accent, and he's obviously smart.
Yeah.
Obviously smart. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's still, like, there's still not enough evidence.
He's still free.
Out there going to movies.
Yep. Yeah. Out there going to movies. A man held a sign threatening to shoot speeding drivers. It's happened in North Brantford, and this is according to police.
from Fox 61, Tony Terzi, on the show now. Good morning, brother.
Dude, I told my photographer you had better slow down when we get to Totucket Road in Northford.
See that?
Exactly.
It was all you.
It's like we can't drive fast here because we're rolling up on a story right. where speeders could be getting shot.
Slow down!
When we got word of this, we went over there, and the ambulance and three North Brantford cruisers were still at the house on Totucket Road. This was Friday, for people who don't know about it, just around lunchtime. And I talked to a resident after they took the suspect away in the ambulance for a psychological eval.
Okay.
And people said he's not wrong that people need to slow down on this road. But
just different tactic.
Yeah, slightly different. You
stand
know?
Out there with a blow dryer, act like it's a radar gun.
Exactly, or put that little green turtle with the flag out saying there are kids playing.
Didn't right. somebody buy one of those radar machines and throw it in their front yard recently, you know, that cops put out occasionally in,
right.
in speed zones?
This is your speed.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. But this guy's sign said, slow the F down or I'll shoot out your windows. Try me. And so when police showed up, they thought what he had was a handgun in his waistband. So, you know, how do you approach this? But apparently they
I
were
pull
able
my
to-
gun out and I say, your next few moves will determine how the rest of your life unfolds.
Right. Exactly.
How long you're you either going to be alive or you're not going to be alive.
One of the
so,
two.
Yeah.
Pick one.
Listen to everything I say and do exactly what I say and do it very slowly.
Right.
Yeah, you're not kidding. This guy was sitting in a chair at the end of the driveway holding up the sign. And when police showed up, apparently it was peaceful. And it turned out to be a BB gun in his waistband.
Wow.
But don't even break a window.
So he wasn't lying with the sign. He could
right.
shoot the windows out.
Right.
And he didn't say, I'll shoot you. He
right.
said, I will shoot your windows
the
out.
The windows, right.
He said, slow the F down or I'll shoot out your windows. Try me.
Right.
And so when we, when the ambulance and the police left, we went up into the yard because there was a couple of women and two little kids, and they wouldn't say how he was related to them. The one young woman that I spoke to, I didn't know whether it was her brother, her husband, boyfriend. She wouldn't talk. And, you know, they were cordial. They were nice. But that's got to be pretty scary. You're driving down the road, and this guy is not holding up a sign saying 10 cents for lemonade.
Right. Yeah, that's so he was standing there holding the sign.
Right.
He was sitting in a chair near the end of the driveway holding the sign. And when we got there, about 5 minutes after we got there, they led him in handcuffs into the back of the ambulance.
Yeah, I
bad lemonade.
If I'm driving up on that and I see a guy holding a sign sitting in a chair, that's exactly what I'm going to think. Lemonade, tag sale,
exactly.
Cookies.
Right, right.
Or willing to work.
Lemonade or cookies.
Or willing
I'm
to work.
Interested.
One of the two.
So the moral of this story is slow down on Totucket Road in Northford, or North Brantford, I guess. I mean, that had to be scary.
What's the speed limit? And what were people doing?
Yeah, it's 30 or 35 in that particular zone, but it's sort of a cut-through road.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
You know, that always happens on those straightaways. That always happens.
I knew something was wrong when I saw the person's age was 29.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, when you're 29, you're a speeder. You don't care about, you know, this is not something you're like, I wish they'd slowed down on this road. God damn it. Yeah. Right.
Right. But I couldn't, you know, when one car pulled up, they asked what was happening, and the two women in the car said, well, he's not wrong, except his method for expressing that, you know, people need to slow down was off kilter slightly.
Yeah. A for effort, but a B for execution.
I wonder if he has kids, like if he just had kids, that becomes
a
thing.
Well, that's what I couldn't, you know, again, there was at least one, if not two kids in the driveway with two women, so I don't know if they're his kids or not.
Or plans to have some someday.
Yeah.
No one knows.
Did you knock on any doors and talk to anyone and get a comment on him? Were they like, oh, he's the nicest person. You wouldn't expect that from him.
50-50.
Hmm.
Oh, so 50, nicest guy.
Yeah.
Didn't see that. And the other 50 said what?
Little off.
Right. Those ones who speak to the neighborhood, though.
Gotcha. Little off. But, you know, I checked this guy's history and from what I can find, there was no criminal history. So,
all right. Well, hopefully he'll be fine. So, no injuries.
No injuries.
And he got a. What did he get for a charge?
He got. Let's see. What did he get for a charge?
Sorry,
you know, I don't have that.
Look that up.
I think it was a breach of peace.
Yeah. All right, so that's not bad.
No, I mean, thank God he didn't unload on somebody's car window and cause an accident or an injury or something.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the lesson in this, I guess, really, is if you see something, say something kind of a thing.
Right.
You know, it really is true. It applies to a lot of parts of our life. You know, if this seems kind of off to you, then call the cops and let them know. And they let him know before he could, you know, take part in target practice.
Right. All right. Nice job on the story. Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, bro.
All right, brother.
Bye-bye.
Tony Terzi, Fox 61.
Mm. It worked, though, apparently.
I've had neighbors like that.
Yeah.
And I've been that neighbor.
You just watch the other thoughts, though, you know? You don't actually write it down and do it. You say,
I've been that guy with the BB gun.
I wish I could.
Me and Tommy Capice played SWAT.
Okay.
And we got up on a rooftop, and my other friend, Louis Guerrera, was in his backyard having a picnic with his family. And, you know, I'm Ecuadorian, like a million cousins, so there's
like a million people
in the backyard.
Right.
So we knew Louis and, like, two or three of his cousins, and so we just, like, we were picking off Louis and his cousins. And it's hard to get shots around, like, grandma.
They don't move too fast.
Right.
So
at first, you could tell they thought like they got stung by a bee.
Right.
Yeah. They'd be like, ah! What was that?
Son of a.
You know? It wasn't until like three or four shots in, they're like, where are they?
Yeah, we're hit by a bee, yes. Not a bee, a bee.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Nice, I was healthy person. Fun as a kid.
That would be all over the news now.
Yeah. Oh,
something
yeah.
like that.
There'd be a perimeter established on you guys in custody.
Yeah.
There'd be helicopters.
Teach you guys to have a party without inviting me.
That's right.
Don't you know I love lasagna?
For God's sake, I want a hot dog.
This story was sent to us by a million people. FBI raid uncovers buckets of body parts. Quote, unsettling scenes.
Well, yeah.
Former Arizona Body Donation Center. I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Who knew?
Yeah, me either.
In Arizona, anything's possible.
That's so gross.
Facing multiple lawsuits after an FBI raid revealed body parts piled on top of each other.
Oh.
A cooler filled with penises.
Wow.
I noticed Ashley didn't say ew to that.
Usually it's a bag.
I shuddered.
Usually it's a bag. Usually it's a bag that has that.
I usually prefer them when they're attached.
Usually. Not always, but yeah. Normally I like them attached.
They happen circumstances, you know.
Usually, I like the attached penises.
Usually, kind, but
you
but,
know, beggars can't be choosers.
When you're on the road,
what do you got in the cooler?
Got a bone to pick with you.
It's like where the cooler's marked. You know, when you go to a picnic, it's like Corona, Heineken,
right.
Penises,
you know, peepees,
water,
right.
Soda,
right.
It's like penises,
peepees,
feet,
yep.
Hands.
Yep. Hey, someone, give me a hand. Give me a hand.
Oh my God.
So weird. This whole thing is weird.
Yes. And gross.
Yeah.
Now with the penises in the hands?
A cooler filled with penises and a head sewn on another body.
Oh,
oh my God.
Come on.
Oh, my God.
I ain't got no body.
Oh, that's so wrong.
But how do you know it's on another body? It has to be obviously like...
like Frankenstein stitched.
Man on a woman or...
right.
Different colors.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my
right.
God.
Different colors.
Skin
right.
tones.
Right.
Oh.
Or it's backwards. I don't know.
Unless a bald head with a hairy
right,
body, that
backwards.
Works. And here's what happens.
Who does this?
Who does God. This?
Who does this?
All of these people need to be rounded up and then just locked away.
Bye.
Or blasted off into space.
Right.
Just put them in one of those bank vaults. Just close the door.
Like,
never
right.
open that door again.
Right.
Yeah, you know what? You know how you do those time capsules?
Yeah.
It's like, all right, all you guys come in here. There's like all kinds of coolers of penises in there. Go
exactly
ahead. Go,
right.
go, go. And then close the door. Thong.
You just, oh, you said, you
and then just write on the do not open till 2090.
Oh, look, dude, I want a boat.
Right.
It's in this room.
All right. The now closed Biological Resource Center was where all this happened, allegedly. The company was allegedly selling bodies without a head for $2,900, $2,900.
Wow, what a bargain.
A body without a head.
Marked down for $25,000.
Right around Halloween time.
What are you going to do with that?
I don't know.
That's an entire body without a head. A torso with a head for $2,400.
Nice. A bargain.
Apparently, the arms and legs are valuable.
Well, of course, not the legs, though.
If you do the math, arm and legs, $125 each.
The ass is free, by the way.
A leg for $1,100. That's weird.
Yeah, leg of the competition.
Don't these things smell?
Heaven knows.
All of this is bad. This is something out of like a horror movie.
It's a body shop, yes.
It's horrifying.
The company owner doesn't have any license or certifications related to body donations.
But a great handshake, man, and a good smile. That are his, but.
He said in the past that the industry essentially has no formal regulations.
We don't need no stinking regulations. Do you want regulations? We don't need no stinking regulations.
This is a quote from the owner.
Oh, boy.
I could have been more open about the process of donation on the brochure we put in public view.
Jeez, I'm stumped.
When deciding which donors could be eligible to donate, I should have hired a medical director rather than relying on medical knowledge from books or the internet.
Looking back, if I had the brains, but I didn't have any brains in stock. So.
Yeah, I wish I would have used all of my brains.
Right. Hey, I just want to be handy.
How many brains do you need to figure this one out, guy?
All right. I need a whole table full.
It's like you got like 80 over here.
I got a bucket.
Yeah. Weird story.
Very.
Weird. Weird, weird, weird.
What are their hours?
Why? What do you need?
I'm just thinking.
What?
No. Who goes shopping there?
Oh, right.
Is there a senior system
Tuesdays? Is there a shopping cart?
Right.
Do they have an online store?
Is there a bagger?
I see you got five legs there. running a marathon soon? No, what's going on?
That's a different cashier you got to go to.
All right.
I'm going to probably return three of these. I got to figure out which two are the same length.
This is two arms or less.
Right.
You don't really know until you put it where it's supposed to be. You know. Right. So I got to take it home. I got to try it there. I'll bring the other three back. I promise.
Now use your eyes, for Christ's sake. They're right in that bucket over there.
Right. Well, how many heads do you need?
Some heads will roll.
Two heads are better than one, though.
Down out of five.
That's right.
I'm going to go home. I'm going to put my heads together. Exactly. I'm going to figure it out.
That would be the special. Two heads are better than one.
Exactly.
Two for one.
Right. Your shoulder crying? Got right here.
God.
Kiss my ass right here.
A cooler of penises.
Right. Use just a bag full.
I'm guessing the longer, the more value, right? They charge like...
Yeah, per pound.
I would assume so.
Yeah. You put that on a scale. Dude. Who barcodes it? Dude.
Where do you put the barcode?
On the top, obviously.
That's what I wouldn't want to know, how much my penis weighs.
Exactly. Right.
It's like, it doesn't tell the whole story.
It says 49 cents. Come on. That's right. 49
it
cents,
does not
really?
Tell the story.
Come on.
Well, to be fair, it was very well used.
Right.
It used to be longer.
That's right. Is there a mileage meter on this penis?
You know, if the AC wasn't on, this would be a lot bigger.
This one's worn out.
It's like a tire.
Shut the AC off.
It's worn down.
Yeah, put
Need some
heat
some
on.
New tread here.
Put right. some heat on.
You know who this is, right?
Yep.
Absolutely.
You know who this is, Ashley?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
Who?
Charlie Daniels.
Exactly.
Down to Georgia, he was looking for a soul to steal.
So scary.
He was buying, but he was way behind.
Boo.
He was willing to make a deal.
Boo.
When he came across a man sewing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player."
I didn't know the devil played fiddle.
I had no idea.
I bet with you. Now, you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, because I think I'm better than you. The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin."
See, that's ballsy.
I'll take your bet. You're going to regret
it. He stands up and says, "I'll take that bet." I don't know.
Yeah.
Look, I'm just playing fiddle and then working on the ranch. I don't want any trouble.
Get that thing I got to do.
Yeah.
That thing.
You know, it's the 40th anniversary of this song?
Is it really?
Yeah.
40 years.
Yeah.
And Charlie Dan is going to call in a second.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The devil opened up his case and he said, I'll start this show. And fire flew from his fingertips as he rolled.
That's why I'm going to pee myself.
Yep.
Okay. He opens and fire flew from his fingertips.
Yeah, it's getting real here.
Like yeah.
Wow.
This is why you don't want your devices connected together. My phone just screwed my Mac.
Wow.
Like, okay.
Well. Like Tim Bali's
the devil.
I thought that was Charlie Daniels.
I was going to say, yeah, have him call the other line.
Yeah.
It's funny. The devil just called my cell phone.
It
right
did.
That's probably not a good sign.
Yeah, it went to hell.
All right.
Told him it went to hell.
Charlie Daniels is on the phone. 40 years of the devil went down to Georgia. Pretty incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, you guys are younger. You know, if it's that way when you were younger. It used to be when I was a kid. The age of 40 was when you were supposed to depart youth and head into older age.
Yes.
Your older age. And so I think our minds get conditioned to thinking that's a line of demarcation between youth and old age. And I never thought too much about the 25th, the 35th, the 32nd, the 30th, showing up at birthdays of this song. And all of a sudden, somebody came one day. You know, Devil Went Down to Georgia was released 40 years ago. It made an impression on me as to, my gosh, you know, this how long this thing's been around. But the main thing is that it is still a viable radio song. I am amazed at how many times a year this thing plays on the radio around.
That song covers so many genres. Cowboy music, it's country music, it's a rock song, but it's also a pop song.
Right.
All boiled down to like 3.5 minutes. It's an incredible story that still stands today.
Yep.
And it is the best fiddle playing that I've heard on a pop song
ever,
/ rock song, / country song ever.
Yep.
And I love that it's two different styles of fiddle playing. It's country style, then it's the devil
yep.
with his band of demons.
Yep.
But let me ask you, because you've written so many songs that have lived forever. When you were writing that song, did you know, wow, this is going to be something?
I didn't know. There's no way you can know, actually. But I had a suspicion that it would be a good song for us. Now, if you're asking me if I realized I'd be sitting here talking about it 40 years after the fact, I had no idea. But I thought that it was radio friendly. I thought we would get play on it. I thought it would sell albums for us, but it was not the first single that was released off of that album. There was another one called Behind Your Eyes. It was the album didn't start popping until they released Devil Went Down to Georgia, and then it started popping. It was amazing to me how fast it went, how fast the stations came on it, and how it crossed the different formats. And no, I had no idea. I have no way you could ever visualize that.
I know my dad used to love it because he had two different versions. For like the AM stations, he said, son of a gun. And for the FM right. stations, he said, son of a bitch. And my dad would roar every single time, son of a bitch. Like that was the coolest thing ever. Yeah. He said, son of a bitch. Oh, my God, it was great. That made my dad so happy. So thank you.
I tell people that I did a Baptist version, a Methodist version. I won't tell them which is which.
Right. Yeah, you find out.
How did the premise start? Did it start with, let's have a fiddle competition, or what was the first line or the first thought that came to
it
mind?
Started with one line that I had in my mind. The devil went down to Georgia. That's the only line that I had in my mind. And I just said with the guys, I went and sat down with the band and said, you know, I got this idea. I got this thing here in my mind. Let's see what we can do with it. We needed a fiddle song for our album. And we just started, and it was like, you try this, you try playing this, you try playing that. And then Taz, our keyboard player, came up with that genius lick at da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And it just kind of set the tone for everything. And as we went along, everybody just got very creative. Everybody started really feeling the tune. And the first thing you know, we had a song. And I just went off and finished the lyrics to it, and we went back and recorded. It did not take a long time to write it once we got started with it. Once we found out where we were going with it, it happened pretty fast. But, gosh, it was that that song, of course, we still do it every night. And people have asked me how many times I've played it, and it happened to run into the thousands of times.
Easily, yeah. Right. So you're playing it every show for over 40
every
years now.
Every show.
Yeah.
Yeah. For 40 years.
For 40 years.
Yeah. 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 It's, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Any good superlative you can think of, you can put to my attitude about that song, because it has been some kind of good to me.
My brother Joe and I would have debates about who won that. He thought the devil won, and I thought Johnny won because I love that style of playing. Have you ever, you know, have you ever been out and then like had to defend Johnny winning that?
I have been, had people say the same thing your brother said, that they thought that the devil played better. But here's the deal. As is the devil's habit, what he does is nothing but noise. You can't hum that part.
Right.
It, you know, there's nothing to it. It's just nothing but noise. And Johnny's part, now you can hum it. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, you can. You can get into it, but the devil's part is just total deception, just like the devil is.
And
right?
The devil cheated.
Yeah, the devil's a liar.
The devil had a band of demons join in.
Exactly, and it sounds
it's
like this.
It's not a competition between two people when you bring in a band of demons.
Yeah, he definitely overstepped.
Right. But I picture little Charlie Daniels-looking demons.
He will never win in that song.
Never. No. Never win. Nope.
Never win.
So now, how do you celebrate the 40th anniversary? Are you going around,
playing.
You know? Yeah, what do you do?
We're just playing our shows, you know. Yeah. We're just going around the country doing what we've been doing for the last 40-some years, and just playing the show. And, you know, that song every night has to be played every night. We always close with it. We don't have anything to follow it with. Once we play that song, there's nowhere to go from there for us.
Yep, the tour bus is running. We're out of here.
Yeah, we go on stage and do our show and end up with that song and get on down the road. There's nothing particular, no celebrations particular or anything other than doing a lot of press about it, or media about it, mostly radio. Another day in the life of, you know.
Yep.
Charlie Daniels, always a treat to have you on. Thanks for coming on, brother. 40 years of Devil Went Down to Georgia. Thank you for all the memories, the great music, the great shows. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.